In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
They come at us and we have to figure out what our morality in that moment is going to be, what we're going to do, how we're going to proceed, how we're going to proceed for our children and grandchildren. These are big decisions and we have to come to terms with them with our free will instead of having a master of tyranny over us, whether that master is a technocrat or a real tyrant. So to me, that's the first thing that we have to do is really come to terms with what being human is.
If you enjoy Conspiracy Unlimited, why not become a Conspiracy Unlimited Plus member? For just $1.99 per month, you'll gain access to 2 bonus, exclusive, commercial-free episodes per month. Plus, access to my back catalog of episodes. To subscribe, just go to conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com and click on Gain Access to Premium Episodes. Again, go to conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com and click on Get Access to Premium Episodes, or click on the link in the episode notes. Conspiracy Unlimited Plus, for less than $2 per month. Why not sign up today?
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs, here's Richard Serrett.
Writer-researcher Alina Freeland stays with us as we continue to discuss geoengineering and transhumanism. Her new book, the third in her trilogy, on the subject is Geoengineered Transhumanism, How the Environment Has Been Weaponized by Chemicals, Electromagnetics, and Nanotechnology for Synthetic biology. We were talking before the break, Elena, about targeted individuals and how, I guess, we're talking about kind of very rudimentary, almost unsophisticated forms of what we're seeing now. That was an early iteration of what they're doing to us all now?
Yes. I think it's just beginning in a way for all of us as the technology is in place. I think the lockdown was very helpful to this in that they had plenty of time to put up thousands and thousands of new towers around the world and to prepare them for 5G and 6G, and maybe even in some nations, 7G. But it has to do with what is being done in the inoculations now. And if we don't see the big picture, it's kind of like a mass attack from many angles. You see what I mean? This is why I wrote the book, is when they use the term epigenetics, which is, you know, a very important part of the new genetics, and realize that epigenetics includes manipulation of the environment, and that this can impact us in multiple ways. So when I have at the beginning of my book the quote, "The terrain is everything, the germ is nothing," and by Claude Bernard of the 19th century. And what that signifies is take another look at your environment and realize how it's being exploited for control, and really at least get that squared away so that you're not taken unawares. Because I believe a lot of medical diagnoses and treatments, now that we have what is known as telemedicine and precision medicine, which is meaning that you won't have to go into the clinic or the doctor's office or the hospital. They'll be doing things to you at home with the frequency of the drug that they want you to be taking, with the frequency of whatever treatment you're undergoing. And this is what digital biology means. So that in itself is a little scary. At least, you know, I'm not a person who goes to doctors. I studied Chinese medicine for 6 years. I've used Chinese medicine my whole life, since I was in my 20s, and I have not been to a doctor since I was 13, because I do not really trust the medical industry that's run by the American Medical Association and Big Pharma. So if you do find yourself in those places, think of the environment. So say you're in a hospital and you have, maybe you have the flu, and you're concerned it might be COVID-19 or whatever, and you're in the hospital. Well, you're in a 5G, 6G environment, and that may be trouble in itself. Of course, no one will talk about it. Everyone will think you're paranoid if you even mention something like that. So I admit that the situation is difficult. And what I'm recommending to people is that there are things you can do to bring back the old medicine, you know, the home remedies, the low-tech way of taking care of one's health, of becoming responsible for your health, and not running to the doctors and for a lot of drugs. This has to be done. You have to cut that yoke that holds you, that binds you to a 5G, 6G, high-tech, smart hospital and smart medicine. This is one of the things you can do for yourself, and it's quite exciting, actually. A lot of people are doing it now. I've gone back to the old medicine that the AMA has tried to stamp out for 200 years. So that in itself is something to be concerned about. That's actually part two of the book, is all on the smart hospital and the smart cities and how they're armed.
How else, besides the 5G and the 6G, how else have smart hospitals been armed?
With all the high-tech, let me see if I can read a few of them, the high-tech machines that you go in and you're going to need testing, right, because you've got a pain in somewhere. So you're going to be put under one of the machines, and it's good to know what these machines really are. I mean, like ECTs, electronic brain stimulation, EBS, deep brain stimulation, transcranial magnetic stimulation, trigeminal nerve stimulation, the electroencephalogram, silent sound spread. The machines themselves are high tech, and they're run by 5G systems because the entire hospital is super armed, is the word I use, with high-tech machines. And I'm not sure what they have to do with human health. I think they're more about the desire to explore and experiment on people. But excuse me, we do have some, what happened to all the protections for people to be able to give consent, for example. If it's just a procedure that is said to be normal, how many people have really gotten very ill in hospitals? And, are we at all convinced that we're being told the truth about it? So to be careful of the smart armed city and the smart armed hospital, I think it's just part of a human protocol. And in a way, I'm kind of dividing everything into, okay, this is good for humans. I'm not sure about this over here. So you'd better really have your you'd better be surveillant. You'd better have your perceptions highly attuned so that you can figure out if you are safe in these environments. That's what I'm saying.
I want to get back to something also you mentioned, and that is we've moved from molecular biology to digital biology. In other words, we can now create and weaponize bacteria with computers. I mean,
yes.
Can you talk to me a bit more about that?
Yeah, when I was researching it, I was surprised to learn that that there is a real open door policy in a way in genetics now, where scientists or the scientifically minded at home can actually go to a catalog and order up a virus, order up a bacteria, and go to town on creating their own pathogen. It's called the gain of function is sort of the euphemism for arming, it appears. And many people are doing this. And of course, that makes sense because you want to find those really bright guys and women out there who are doing things on their own. And these people, you order from a catalog, but I'm sure that that's being surveilled as to who bought that and where that person is and what they're doing with it. And so it's a way of sort of a job market as well. But at the same time, think about how if you have the right electromagnetics, you can actually broadcast disease by frequency, or look at it the other, just the inside out way. You have put a disease into people with an inoculation and it has gone dormant, and now it can be resurrected by calling out its frequency so that the symptoms of that disease, I think the latest one that they're hitting us with fear is smallpox, bringing that one back. You can actually bring those symptoms back. Now, does that person really have that disease? It certainly can be unwrapped and will certainly cause pain and suffering. So for all intents and purposes, yes. But, everyone should read Tom Cowan, the doctor's book, The Contagion Myth, to realize that there really is no – that virus and bacteria are not at all what we're told they are. There is no contagion that's going on. What will be going on now with the inoculated at the very least, and you know, it's being called shedding. That's an animal term. I think it's an unfortunate term, because what's really happening is those people are now completely plugged into 5G and 6G systems, and they are broadcasting frequencies of disease. Yes, they are.
What do you think the space fence is doing, and why is half of it pointing out into space? Also, could we hack their frequencies and find a way to unbrainwash the masses? So let's deal with the space fence first. First of all, maybe go into some detail as to what it is, what it's for.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that person fortunately knows what the old space fence used to be. Which was very much about sort of SETI, like, you know, seeing what's going on in space and watching space. But that's not the way the space fence is now. The space fence is very, very many installations, not just a few in the southern United States and then out in the Marshall Islands. I think of it as a sandwiching going on that above us in the stratosphere and near Earth orbit, as we have heard, and it's been very much admitted, that around the equator right now, an ultra, I can't remember what, if it's EMF or what it is, but it, around the equator is a ring of electromagnetism, and it's sort of that is the sandwiching from space, not counting the satellites, not counting all the thousands of satellites up there now, for especially for 5G, but this just this ring around the planet, very Saturn looking, is the top sandwich, the piece of bread above us. And then on the Earth are all of these installations, the radar installations, the ionospheric heaters, the NEXRADs, the cell towers, the cell phones. I mean, everything broadcasting, everything electromagnetic, and putting something out and receiving it as well. All of that is the lower piece of bread in the sandwich, and we are all in between those two. And so now all they need to do is to keep the atmosphere ionized, and that's the important part. That's what HARP led to, and now it requires, to date anyway, it requires that they keep dumping all these particulates, because you can't broadcast through a vacuum of air. You have to be able to have something that is mobilized, that is activated, and that would be the particulate. So that's the space fence now, and I describe that in the second book to a great degree, to explain how it was built. And advising me then was Billy Hayes, known as the HARP man, because Billy was involved in building HARP. He has always been in electromagnetics. And so he really helped me to understand how you're going to plug everybody in through the space fence.
Could we hack their frequencies and find a way to unbrainwash the masses?
Okay, let's go back to the nano consciousness that they have, a swarm consciousness. All right, so they have a swarm consciousness. They're in my body. I can feel them moving sometimes, and sometimes I get pinched. Because what I didn't say is that you need to know is that the objective is that these nano building blocks, and that's what they are, the nano building blocks, these nanobots or nanoparticles or all of it, are to replace our nervous system with something sort of a silicon system, and replace our circulatory system with a different kind of vessels that are that are synthetic. The idea is to synthesize us, to make us synthetic, machine-like, and then we won't have to worry about the Van Allen belts on our way out of here sort of thing. So if I can, is it, looking at my human consciousness, it is greater than that of the swarm consciousness. I have an individual consciousness that is a higher rung on the evolutionary ladder of consciousness, no question about it. So my thought is, can I, not hacking, and if this person is a computer person, then they could actually go that way. But my thought is that to control the nanobots in me, above and beyond those who are remote, who are attempting to control the remote, the nanobots in me, that my consciousness can direct them. My consciousness is greater than theirs. And so what I'm concentrating on right now as an experiment is I'm sort of playing getting to know you. I'm sort of becoming aware of them. Of the nanobots in my body, and without any animosity or fear, or just simply observing their behavior, seeing what my diet has to do with it, you know, whether my diet is acid or alkaline, running a lot of experiments regarding the balance of what I know is in there, and like you said earlier, Richard, invisible to me, but they do move. And I can feel that movement, and I know what it is. So I think that there is a way to hack. I just don't know on what scale that question is thinking of.
Right. I mean, very quickly, because we're just about into a break here, but do our T cells recognize these nanobots? Do they fight them?
I think that the T cells are in dire straits now, at least for the inoculated. Because the first thing that the mRNA certainly does in coming into the body is to really wear away that immune system, whatever is left of it. I mean, I point out in the book over and over again that our immune system has been under assault for decades, not just with fluoride in the water, but that certainly is one of the players. And it's all, and to my mind, it's all intentional. It's all intentional to lead us to where you wear down the noblest and greatest defender of our bodies is the immune system, and just wear it down. I even now think that the immune system, due to Rudolf Steiner's teachings, I think that the immune system is a very high order protection.
Right. And, well, they're trying very hard to memory hold the idea of natural immunity from a prior infection, something we've known about since the plague in Athens in 430 BC. And now all of a sudden, they're trying to tell us that our immunity from a prior infection is no good. My good friend Nelson Thal, media scientist who studied under Marshall McLuhan, just sent me this. Omicron, of course. The Greek letter Omicron, now the new variant, we're being told. They've named it Omicron. And apparently, Omicron is also the name of a 1964 comedic Italian sci-fi film in which an alien variant takes over the body of an earthling to learn about our weaknesses so that his race can take over our planet. There you go. Omicron is actually the name of a sci-fi comedy from 1964 or 63, written and directed by Ugo Gregoretti. It's an Italian-French co-production. It stars Renato Salvatori, Rosemary Dexter, Franco Luzzi, Gattiano Quattararo, and so forth. There you go. Omicron. That can't be a coincidence.
Oh well, I just watched it today.
Did you?
I learned about it too, Richard, and it's really good. It's really good, and you know, you have subtitles, so in English. And I mean, then I just wanted to say that the also remember Omicron is the anagram is moronic.
Yes. I mean, talk about predictive programming. That's like 58 years ago. That movie came out. Unbelievable. Yeah. Are Russia or China doing anything geoengineering related that should concern the West?
Well, Well, I think my own opinion is, and it's just my opinion, that the United States was primary in this, despite the fact that the Russians originally, as everybody remembers, in the, at least some people remember, the Russians had what is the name of it? It's like a big magnet that they can hit the United States with. They called it
Woodpecker, Operation Woodpecker.
Yeah, the Woodpecker. Thanks. Yeah. My memory just suddenly was gone. So despite that, the United States has been number one. I mean, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, and the CIA owned all the patents that had to do with HAARP. And so it has been very much, that was very much successful. The Air Force has admitted it, that we now control the ionosphere from the U.S. And NATO countries are part of that, but really it came from the U.S. But to defend themselves, certainly China and Russia would have geoengineering. I know China is now geoengineering for agricultural purposes and for weather, you know, bringing in the weather. As I've said many times, if people think that we have any natural weather, we don't. It's all engineered now. And so it's weaponized as well. It's used to do that. And certainly if I were running Russia or China, I would want to protect myself as well, because we saw what happened with Fukushima, and Fukushima was definitely a weather assault.
Can you talk about any connection you're aware of with respect to Morgellons and glyphosates? Do you know much about what seems to be an engineered bioweapon in Lyme disease?
Yes, I think Lyme disease is completely a biowarfare weapon. It was from, again, back there near Fort Detrick. Everything seems to spawn in Fort Detrick that becomes weaponized. Morgellons and Lyme have some commonalities. I discuss them in the book. It's very interesting to me. But they are definitely separate and separate weapons. Morgellons is still around. I actually was on Coast to Coast the other night, and a woman called in who sounded like she had very severe Morgellons symptoms. But it can be controlled, and it can be you can get better. But it takes careful eating, and it takes many lifestyle changes, because Morgellons, like many of these pathogens that have been weaponized, loves electromagnetism. So living in a Wi-Fi environment would be the worst of all. Living in an Internet of Things environment with a smart meter on your home would be the worst as well.
You sort of alluded to this when you talk about this vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. And for these materialists in particular, can be vulnerable to some sort of, oppression or possession.
Yeah, possession, I would say. And certainly I would add in now with that question what CERN has done. CERN is up to no good. There's no question about it. And it is sort of the way I call it, what I called it in the previous book, is the Temple of CERN. And I do believe it is very much a some sort of religious stronghold for the global elite due to its latitude, longitude, and the fact that, as Anthony Patch has said, CERN was placed over the Temple of Apollyon. This is all part of studying the global elite, who are very much involved in what we call mythology, but for them is actually religion. I think that many, through the D-Wave computer, the adiabatic, I don't know if I'm saying that word right, quantum computer, I think a lot of entities are being called in. Certainly Jordy Rose, the chief operating officer or the chief technology officer of D-Wave Computer, has said that they are calling the old ones back in. And I'm not quite sure what he means there, but it doesn't sound good.
will ingesting colloidal silver short-circuit the nanobots?
Well, I'd be interested in anyone's experiments with that. I, for some reason, over the last 10 or so years, I've been cautioned by people to be careful of ingesting colloidal silver. I'm not sure what that comes from, but I certainly use it topically. If at all I have a rash, I will spray colloidal silver on it. So I would be very interested. Many of us are experimenting now, and I always recommend Tony Pantelaresco. Tony is a Canadian herbalist, and he is intrepid in experimenting with various things. He's experimenting with magnetics as well, which has quite a success rate with the nanotechnology, by the way, because, of course, the nanotechnology is primarily supported by the nanometals that we have breathed in from what the chemical trails are dropping on us. So that makes sense that the magnetic, would they have some, be able to pull out the graphene oxide? That's another interesting question, because graphene is certainly has to do with magnetism and it is highly conductive. So we're very excited about all this experimentation, but it's all low tech, you understand. It's not anything that we're going to go and try to get a patent on, since the patent office is completely controlled.
Well, speaking of patents, you mentioned one in the book that sort of caught your attention, a patent for the development of inorganic life forms.
Yes, inorganic life forms. That's true. And I think that in a way, I'd be interested if anyone isolates this Hydra, what is it called? Hydra vulgaris, that has been found in the serum of one of the vaccines.
Yeah, they have like tentacles. They look like they have tentacles.
Yeah, I would be interested in further work on that if someone does it, to see if it's synthetic or not. Because I know they're making sort of hybrids. It's like their vision of us in Human 2.0, I would assume. We will be hybrids. We would be hybrids. We would be partially synthetic and a silicon model, and partially human, a carbon model. So, I would imagine that there are many inorganic species that will be injected over time into people who are receiving so-called boosters or whatever they call them.
Back to more of my conversation with Elana Freeland, author of Geoengineered Transhumanism. Stay with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Everytown podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan. The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I'm a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it, and we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
C60 Evo delivers the miracle molecule, ESS60. It's pure carbon 60. Why not love your body and share C60 Evo with those you love? ESS60 from C60 Evo is a mega antioxidant for increased strength, endurance, flexibility, and a deeper sleep. It's great for pets too. I take a tablespoon every day, and so does the mighty Aphrodite. We're both sleeping better than we have in years. And during the day, we have such tremendous energy and vitality. We're both pain-free. In a landmark peer-reviewed animal study in Paris, France, rats fed ESS60 lived twice their normal lifespan. Go to c60evo.com/Richard-Serrett or click on the C60 Evo link in the episode notes. Use the code EVRS at checkout and save 10%. ESS60 from C60 Evo. Order your miracle in a bottle today.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then it is violently opposed. Finally, it is accepted as self-evident.
Let me just read that again. I don't know what that means.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
Welcome back. Ilana, if biotech can manipulate us through geoengineering, could they not just vaccinate everyone on the planet without their knowing it?
Yeah, I think that they're talking about, as you know, various plants that will be producing vaccines. And I don't know how surreptitious that will be. Will it be that you go to buy lettuce in the organic section of your supermarket and it's actually been treated in such a way that you will be eating the vaccine? I would assume, given who these people are, that their means will be subtle indeed, and it won't necessarily entail a needle.
How do you think we can be the victors in this global takeover? How will we win this battle?
Ah, me. Well, I don't know how long it's going to run. I feel thrilled that I have been able to live long enough that I can fight for as long as I will fight. I don't think it'll be easy because, I've been basically an activist and a researcher studying many of the things that have torn this culture down in America and in the world for a long time. And what I see is that people are too addicted to their comforts and their conveniences. And we've had opportunities years ago where we could have done something, but no one would do it. It's somehow that things have to get really bad before people who claim to love freedom will really start to do something. And I think we're seeing quite a bit of awakening now. Now that we have the lockdown and I don't know how many millions are being vaxxed, but it's unfortunate that we have to go that far. So with that in mind, You understand that if the powers that be wanted to create a another happenstance to put us to sleep for another 5 or 10 years, they could easily do that because they have the resources to do that, and most people are just not subtle enough to realize they're being manipulated.
I guess another way of asking that question, and it's something that you conclude your book with, a chapter called Remaining Human. Can we remain human?
Well, that certainly is primary to my mind. And so what I do in that chapter, and it's only 20 pages, it's a conclusion looking forward. To me, if you can realize what a human being really is, if you think a human being is like the CIA thinks, just wetware, as they call us, you know, hardware, software, wetware, then you probably can't hear what I'm saying. But for me, as a student of Rudolf Steiner, long term, I see us as a divine being living in a material body, as Madonna used to sing, and we are having a material experience here and attempting to develop free will under circumstances that we have not been prepared for, really. They come at us, and we have to figure out what our morality in that moment is going to be, what we're going to do, how we're going to proceed, how we're going to proceed for our children and grandchildren. These are big decisions, and we have to come to terms with them with our free will instead of having a master of tyranny over us, whether that master is a technocrat or a real tyrant. So to me, that's the first thing that we have to do, is really come to terms with what being human is, and then decide whether we are willing to stand and fight for it.
You've mentioned Rudolf Steiner a number of times, this Austrian philosopher and esotericist. Can you maybe expand on who he was a little bit, and why he's so important to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually was a scientist. He was a PhD physicist is what his university training was, but he has become known for his esoterics and his capabilities that are spiritual, to see into the future and he started the Waldorf movement. He started biodynamic farming. He started, it's endless. And for me, I was a teacher when I encountered him, or I knew I would be a teacher. And I recognized that he would be able to, that his, what he had come up with regarding children and young people would definitely make me even a better teacher. So that's how I got involved with him. And I wasn't that interested in the esoterics at first. But then I began to see what happened in the classroom and the amazing healings that happened with children that had very big problems in learning. And so then I began to pay attention to everything else that he had brought. And that's what 40 years ago. So for me, he's like a trail guide, maybe a trailblazer and a trail guide. His ability to, I think he gave 6,000 lectures in his life, and he was actually murdered early. He should have lived longer. And he was an intrepid fighter for humanity. He said, he's the one who told me through his book that humanity is the religion of the gods. And what he meant by that was that we are a little lower than the angels, and that the free will experiment that we humans are, is admired throughout the various levels of the spiritual world. And, you know, that people in America have been taken by storm by materialism is unfortunate, because then you have very few resources, whereas those who have an inner life and are in touch with spiritual climates, places, beings, I don't know what they are, but I can tell that I have I have some real help, at my back for doing the work I do.
The third book in the trilogy, Geoengineered Transhumanism, How the Environment Has Been Weaponized by Chemicals, Electromagnetism, and Nanotechnology for Synthetic Biology. Was this designed as a trilogy? Is this the last chapter, as it were, Elana?
Well, this I didn't really design it. I'm kind of cheating there, but it certainly is the closure of everything I have to contribute to what geoengineering really is. I'm really fed up with the lies that are promulgated in the corporate media regarding what geoengineering is and isn't. It's much, much bigger. Clifford Carnicum a long time ago said that it had seven operations: weather engineering, chemical electromagnetic, planetary geophysical, directed energy weapons, surveillance, and neural operations, in other words, mind control, digital biology, nanotech, transhumanism, and then cloaking and obscuration of exotic propulsion craft in the clouds. These are all going on. This is a huge, huge program subject to and in service to the secret space program. So to me, this is my last, the last book I'm going to write, because I have reached my expertise level, and it's time for those who are trained in plasma physics and other physics to come forward and speak out of the national security classification threat. Have courage, because people need to know that this program is tremendously powerful, and in every aspect of our lives, at least involved in every aspect of the technology that's overtaking us.
You just mentioned something there that, everything you've said tonight has pricked up my ears, but something you just mentioned, and that was about propulsion systems and crafts in the clouds. Are you saying that there is a connection between the UAPs, as they now call UFOs, and everything else you've been talking about tonight?
Oh, I'm sure of it. And what I'm saying is that there are all the way from craft that are like the TR-3B or XB-37, which are actual ships that we have created that have a very exotic propulsion system, and another type of entity that often hides in the clouds as well, because this cirrus cloud cover, these are not the old clouds at all. These are plasma clouds. These are created with chemicals and electromagnetism. So they hide in it, and they're the one that I was thinking of that is actually that term you brought up, an inorganic life form, these plasma forms that Wilhelm Reich was finding when he was looking up there with his infrared camera. And Trevor Constable was also finding in the desert, where the air is nice and dry, and you can see into the infrared. So these are ships of some sort, or inorganic life forms that are often in the clouds. And there's a site called What Is in Our Skies, which very much goes into this. So, that's the seventh operation that Clifford talked about.
And is that the then explanation for UAPs in your mind, that these are basically created here on Earth by, you know, the elites, the technocrats, and that their purpose is, again, to further this agenda of geoengineered transhumanism? In other words, we're not talking about ETs here. We're talking about...
No, I don't do ETs. I have already said that I certainly posit the existence of entities. I think, when you look at the electromagnetic spectrum and you see this very minor, thin, domain of our perception compared to how vast the entire spectrum is, all the way from gamma rays to radio waves, you know we're not seeing much. And I would assume that there are many, many entities here on the Earth that we have been veiled from seeing, so that we can sort of work on our human domain problem of free will. That's my assumption. But I know that when people talk about ships from Alpha Centauri or somewhere else, I pretty much lose interest, because not because I think they might not exist, maybe they do, but they're not my domain. That's not, I'm here to defend humanity, and anything that broaches upon Earth existence. And I believe that these exotic propulsion craft that are certainly plasma ships. I even encountered one myself, so I know they exist. They are plasma, and plasma is the fourth state of matter. But in a way, plasma is matter, but it's sort of diaphanous. It's sort of ethereal looking, so you don't think of it as matter, but it is matter. These are all Earth beings. I don't have to import anything off planet.
You mentioned the Van Allen belts, and how we are part of this agenda is preparing us to be a spacefaring society or civilization. Mm-hmm. And we need to be synthesized in order to be able to survive the Van Allen belts. So the question then had to do with, well, does that then suggest you don't believe we went to the moon because we weren't able to survive the Van Allen belts?
Well, we certainly didn't go to the moon in rockets. Now, as to whether we went in a more exotic craft that we inherited from the paperclip Nazis when we brought them over and basically gave them carte blanche in America, I don't know. That's possible. But getting through the Van Allen belts, we even created one of those Van Allen belts, if you recall, with our stupid practice of exploding atomic bombs back in the 50s. So I don't know, but no, I haven't thought we went to the moon in the way they said that we went to the moon.
The ionizing of the atmosphere, that I'm guessing needs to be constant and uninterrupted. If we were to shut down HARP and all, I don't know how many similar arrays there are now around the world, would that put an end to this?
Well, it's sort of a fantasy of mine of like, well, I'd really like to see where we're at if that happened, instead of just destroying a cell tower here and there. If we did something really spectacular, like shut down HARP or the, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, like the one in Norway, there are some really big ones in Norway. Recently, the Arecibo one collapsed. And I don't know what's happened with that. I haven't really followed up on that. So, yeah, that would be a great start to just get rid of. I'd also throw in CERN. Yeah, that's my Christmas list you're talking about, Richard.
All right. Fantastic. How do we get a copy of Geoengineered Transhumanism?
Well, there's two ways. The first way is the black and white edition. I couldn't offer a color edition for a price that everyone could afford. So that's the one that's up at Amazon, and it's also through various book dealers. But there is a book dealer in Seattle called the Rudolf Steiner Bookstore that is offering the color edition. And he's doing all the mailing and everything. So you order through that. And you can remember that easily. It's the Rudolf Steiner Bookstore, Seattle, Washington. And that's how you would get a color edition.
Fantastic. Well, Ilana, thank you so much for hanging out for 2 hours. It's been too long. My fault entirely. You are a treasure. You are a treasure.
Well, thank you. I always enjoy you, Richard.
Well, we won't leave it so long next time. So we'll chat again.
All right.
Ilana Freeland.
A new Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need... we need constant petting.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.